The Lord, sing His praises. So we're going to do that. But before we do that tonight, we need to open with a prayer. I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thou wouldst be here today. Let Thy presence be here. Let it be real in our hearts. We ask, O God, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us with Thy Spirit, we pray. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst truly inspire us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to sing Thy praises, to worship Thee with our whole hearts, to give Thee our hearts, Lord, for we know that that is truly what it means to worship. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here. Let Thy presence be real tonight. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your chorus book, we're going to start with number 40. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and we truly know that our God is great tonight. Praise the Lord, there is none greater than Him. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we look across the page and sing number 47, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. And we do need Him to make us what we ought to be. There's no one else who can do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 72 in the chorus book? For He is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. And that day is coming when we'll all bow before Him. For some of us, it'll be the happiest day of our lives, a day without end, an everlasting day, and it will be glorious. But for others, it will be a tragic experience. Thankfully, we know that doesn't have to be our fate. Praise the Lord. And you know, Jesus has done so much for us, and we love Him because He first loved us. Why don't we sing number 69, Jesus, I Love You. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a simple little chorus, but it's a wonderful chorus to sing. There's power in that chorus. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing number 66, Jesus I'll Never Forget, because He has done so much for us. Number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget. Ah, you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Praise the Lord. We should never forget what He's done for us. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go ahead and sing number 62 also on this page. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And He has done so much for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power that Thou hast kept us for so many years. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. We also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for Thy kingdom. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, ordinarily, Barb is here on Wednesday nights, and she's not with us tonight. She's in a lot of pain. They did a biopsy today, and they're checking out some things, and we're just going to pray for her now. Pray that the Lord will take away that pain and that all the test results will come back negative. We're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night for our dear sister Barb, asking, O God, that Thou hast reached down from heaven and do a work in her life. We ask, O God, that Thou hast touch her, help her, heal her of that pain, Lord. We ask, O God, that there would be no further pain, but that Thou hast comfort her with Thy righteous, mighty hand, Thy loving hand, Thy compassionate hand. For we know that Thou art truly our healer, our deliverer, our Savior, and that nothing is too hard for Thee. And we pray, O God, that for the results of these tests, we pray that there would be nothing serious, but we pray, O God, that all the tests would come back negative. And we pray, O God, that if there is anything wrong, that Thou hast healed her completely and entirely, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started with our Bible study tonight. Why don't we go ahead and sing number 128 in the chorus book, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, everything else does just fade away when you're in God's presence. There's nothing that compares to that. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to get started in the Word. Hopefully, everything... Oh, yeah, there's the green light, so we should be all set up there. And I'm going to call this message tonight, Wait on the Lord. We're going to be starting in Isaiah chapter 40, but before I read even one verse, I need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us here as we study Thy Word. Give us understanding as we open Thy Holy Scriptures, for we know that without Thee we cannot comprehend Thy Word. And we ask, O God, that Thy Holy Spirit would be here upon us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. O Lord, move upon us greatly tonight, we pray. For we know that we may not be great in number here tonight, but Thou hast promised wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And we know that Thou art here tonight. We thank Thee for that knowledge. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service. Inspire us, guide us, direct us, help us, we pray. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 40 tonight. And as I said previously, this message is called Wait on the Lord. And you know, waiting, that's one of those things these days that people don't really like to do anymore. Nobody really wants to wait. We're used to not having to wait. And when we do have to wait, we get pretty grumpy about it, don't we? People go to the DMV and they complain because they're there for an hour and they have to wait. And I have to admit, that's not the funnest thing to wait for. But sometimes, waiting can be a good thing. Waiting builds stamina and endurance, and it teaches us patience. And we sometimes need to wait on the Lord. But we, as we do so, our faith continues to grow. We don't doubt. There's nothing wavering. We truly believe that God has good things for us. And that's what we're waiting for. And I believe that when we wait upon the Lord, when we wait on the Lord, He truly blesses us for doing so. We are going to start in Isaiah chapter 40 tonight. And in verse 1 it tells us, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. And you know, this is a wonderful proclamation, and we know that the Lord does comfort His people. In fact, the Lord Jesus is the Comforter, that Spirit of God that comes and lives inside us, the Holy Ghost. And verse 3 tells us, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And of course we know that that verse, Isaiah 40, verse 3, is referring to John the Baptist, someone we've been reading about a little bit in our studies in Luke on Sundays. And we know that his job was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, to prepare the hearts of the people to receive the Lord. And God is telling Israel through his prophet Isaiah, right here in chapter 40, that something wonderful is going to happen to this people. In fact, they're going to have salvation. Wonderful things are going to be done. And he's telling them about the start of those wonderful things. And of course, we know that this is all leading up to the time when the Messiah would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he would deliver his people. But we know that John the Baptist, he was sent forth ahead of time to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." What is that glory of the Lord it's referring to there? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he was glorified when he was lifted up on that cross. And he died for our sins there. He was buried. He rose again. And he was glorified. Praise the Lord. The glory of the Lord was revealed. Verse 6, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." In other words, the prophet here is saying that the people on this earth, you know, life is short. We're only here for a short time on this planet. And we're like flowers. We're there for a little while, but then those flowers fade away. They die, don't they? And they're just there for a very short time, really. And the grass withereth. In fact, verse 8 tells us, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Praise the Lord. And we looked at that a little bit last week when we were reading Psalm 119, didn't we? The word of God is forever settled in heaven, and it is firmly established, and it is forever, and there is nothing anyone can do about that. The word of our God shall stand forever. Verse 9, "O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." That was good news, good tidings, wasn't it? When Jesus Christ came, God manifest in the flesh. And it's very appropriate there to say, "Behold your God," because he who was standing among them was God, very God, robed in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Behold your God. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." You know, the Lord God did come with a strong hand. Jesus Christ came, and he set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. He is still ruling that kingdom today. If you read Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it tells us that that kingdom will be forever. And that kingdom is still firmly established to this day. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Praise the Lord. Don't we know that Jesus is the good shepherd? That's what the scriptures tell us, the good shepherd. And we were as lambs, as sheep, lost and gone astray. But he went, and he sought us, and he found us, and he gathered us unto himself. Praise the Lord. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? You know, God, He reigns today. He knows everything. He is almighty. There's no one that can teach God anything, because He already knows it all. And there's no one else, no spirit, no human, no being in all of the universe that can do what God does. There are none like Him. Praise the Lord. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Isn't that amazing? These scriptures here are telling us that every nation, all the nations of the earth, are as if, it's as if they are a drop in the bucket, just one drop in a bucket. All of those nations. And you know, if we could see this earth from where God dwells in the heavens looking down on us, we would realize just how small we really are. Just little specks in the universe. And if all the nations are as a drop in the bucket, just imagine how tiny and insignificant we are. But it's an amazing thing when we consider our insignificance, and then we realize that Jesus came and suffered for us despite our insignificance, went to that cross, died on that cross for us. And He bore our sins upon Himself, though we're not worthy of it, though we be insignificant. But God loves us anyway. He cares about us despite that insignificance. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's how much He cares about us. That's the level of interest He takes in our lives. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. The point of these verses we're reading is for us to understand how great God is in comparison to us, in comparison to the entire world. And it's telling us here that Lebanon, there's not even enough there to burn. It's not sufficient to burn. Verse 17, all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? There's nothing really that you can compare to our God. He's incomparable to anything. There's nothing like Him. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. People, they do try to make likenesses of God, don't they? They make idols and statues and so forth, try to make pictures of God. But that's all vanity, because you can't liken God to anything. He's too far above us, too great, too mighty for that. You can't represent Him with a graven image, with an idol, with a statue. But they try, don't they? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Who's it referring to there? God. And isn't it amazing here, the circle of the earth? Well, that makes it seem as though the earth is round, doesn't it? And we know that to be true. But it took people a long time to figure that out. They used to think the earth was flat, didn't they? If they had just read their Bibles, they would have seen it. Yes, the earth is round. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken Me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? There is none equal to God. And you can't liken God to anyone. He's too far above us all. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You know, we can't hide anything from the Lord. He sees it all and he knows it all. So you shouldn't even try. It's a waste of time to try to hide anything from the Lord. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Our God never gets tired. He never has to sleep. He's never weary. He's never faint. He is the Almighty. And there is no searching of his understanding. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's never a time when he's stuck and doesn't know what to do. He is the Almighty God. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And we as human beings, we are weak. We know what it's like to feel faint, to feel tired, to feel worn down, to feel as though we have no strength. And where do we turn when we need to find that strength? Well, turn to God, because he is the Almighty, and his strength is in abundance, and he will give you his strength so that you can endure whatever it is you might have to endure in this world. There is trouble in this world. There is hardship in this world, and we will have to endure many things. But we need to put our trust in the Lord. We need to wait upon God, wait on the Lord. And when you do that, in faith, nothing wavering, he will give you the strength you need. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, young people, they seem like they have so much energy, so much strength. Seems like there's no stopping them, but yes, even they get tired. Even they feel faint sometimes. Even they get weary. But when we wait upon the Lord, he gives us strength. Strength you can't get anywhere else. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that wonderful to know? And we all must wait on the Lord and wait upon the Lord, for he truly does have good things for us. And he will give us the strength we need to endure, to get through all the trouble and the hardship in this world. He will give us that strength we need if we just wait upon the Lord. For in him do we find our strength. Praise the Lord. In fact, why don't we go now to Psalm, and why don't we go to Psalm 62. And you know, sometimes when you read the book of Isaiah, then you read the Psalms, you'll notice that it almost seems as if they were written by the same author. And the reason for that, I believe, is that, although God used different men to write it down, in reality, it's God who is the author. This is God's word. And I believe that's why sometimes we see such strong similarities between Isaiah and the Psalms. You know, Isaiah, obviously that was written by the prophet Isaiah, and the Psalms, they were written by David and some other men and so forth, his chief musicians and so forth. And there's one psalm actually that was even written by Moses. So there were more than one man that wrote the Psalms, but we see similarities. And the feel of Isaiah is sometimes very similar to the Psalms. But in Psalm 62, verse 1, it says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. And that's what we all need to do. We need to wait upon the Lord. Remember, in Isaiah 40, it says, when we wait upon the Lord, that's where we get our strength. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. Who's he talking to there in verse 3? Those who imagine mischief against a man. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. That's quite some imagery there. You can imagine a tottering fence, I'm sure. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. We get our strength from the Lord as we wait upon him. And not only our strength, but our salvation. We get from the Lord. For he is our salvation. He is our rock upon whom we build our lives. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Yes, we get our strength from our God, and he's also a refuge to us. In times of trouble, when everything seems wrong, we wait upon the Lord, and he strengthens us. He lifts us up. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. You know, sometimes God does give us good things, including riches at times, and it's up to him to decide who gets what. He knows who can handle it and who can't. But if we do gain riches, if we do have good things, we need to make sure that we don't set our heart upon them, because there's nothing we have in this world that couldn't be taken away tomorrow. But there's nothing they can do to take the Word of God out of our hearts and God's Spirit out of our hearts. That they can't take. Verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. So we see here, again, it's reiterated in Psalm 62, what we read in Isaiah 40, that if we wait on God, we find our strength and our salvation in him. We're going to go now to another psalm, Psalm 37. And there's something else that we're also waiting for, something we've been waiting for a while, but we are confident, we know, that this waiting will pay off. And someday that very thing we're waiting for, we will obtain. Psalm 37. Verse 1 tells us, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, we see people out there doing evil things all the time, and many of them are very wealthy. And it looks like they're successful, and that they're very prosperous, and sometimes envy might come up in people's hearts, and they feel like, oh, I wish I could have what they have. But you know, what they have, those riches, they're not going to save them. They don't have the salvation of the Lord. And if you have Jesus, you have far more than they have. You may not have physical things, things of this world, riches of this world, but if you have Jesus, you have something eternal, everlasting, something wonderful, something that they're going to miss out on if they don't turn and serve the Lord and repent of their sins. So don't fret when you see the evildoers and the way they seem to be prosperous and the way everything seems to work out for them. Because one day, they're going to have to answer for their deeds, for their evil doings. And all of those riches, they're not going to matter anymore at that point. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, some people read that verse and they misinterpret it to mean that God has to give them whatever it is they desire. But you'll notice in verse 4, in the first part of that, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And if you do that, you're only going to want the right things from God. You're not going to go after foolish things, vain things, because you're delighting yourself in the Lord. And when you do that, and you seek the good things of God, the righteous things of God, the treasures you build up in heaven, he will give you those desires of your heart, if those are those desires that you have. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We see it again, don't we? We need to wait patiently for the Lord, wait patiently on the Lord. And when we do that, he will strengthen us. And our rest is in him, we know that. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And there are a lot of wicked men bringing wicked devices to pass, aren't there? But don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. God will straighten it all out in the end. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So we see that not only those who wait upon the Lord, not only will he renew our strength, but those that wait upon the Lord, we're going to inherit the earth. And what earth is he referring to there? It's not this physical earth that we're on today. It's not the earth we now abide on, our temporary home, but it's that new heavens and that new earth wherein dwelt righteousness. That's the earth we're going to inherit, and that's what we're waiting for. That is the desire of our hearts. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Remember how Jesus said that very thing during his Sermon on the Mount? The meek shall inherit the earth. What earth? That new heavens, that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for. And that's what has been promised to us. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. All those evildoers out there doing wicked things, some of them are very powerful. Some of them are very rich. They have a lot of things, a lot of possessions, a lot of power. But a day is coming when they're going to get theirs. And the Lord, it tells us in verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord knows what they're going to get, what's coming to them. So we don't have to worry and we don't have to fret. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. As I said earlier, you know, we may not have a lot of possessions in this world. I don't think any of us here are rich, but we have far more than the richest man in this earth if we have Jesus. We have something they don't have. Salvation from the Lord, the promise of that eternal home, that new heavens, that new earth that we're waiting for. We have something that all of the riches in this world can't compare to. Verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Praise the Lord. And we have been promised an inheritance, haven't we? Because we are God's children. We've been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us that, don't we? And we have an inheritance that will last forever, an eternal inheritance. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Isn't it wonderful to know that if we're truly serving the Lord and living in obedience to Him, we have nothing to be ashamed of? When we stand before the Lord one fine day, we're not going to have to hang our heads in shame, but we will bow down to Him in gratitude, thanking Him for His blessings, for His salvations, for His gift of eternal life. But we won't have to hang our heads in shame, because we've repented of our sins and we're following the Lord, and we have that promise, that inheritance that will be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away? The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And you know, that's very true. The righteous, the children of God, they're very giving, aren't they? Very generous. But the greedy and the wicked, they'll borrow things sometimes. They don't pay it back. They just try to get all they can get. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Those who are not blessed of the Lord, they're not going to have any part in that new heavens and that new earth. They're going to be cut off. And we don't want that to happen to us. That's a horrible way to spend eternity. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And we do fall sometimes, we do stumble a little sometimes, but when you stumble and when you fall, you got to get back up, and the Lord will help you, he will strengthen you. Verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? And you know, he will not forsake us. We need to make sure that our lives are fully given to the Lord and we seek him first. And when we seek him first, he will not forsake us. Verse 26, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And there's only one way you can dwell forevermore. And that's if you have that salvation from the Lord Jesus. That's only if you've been adopted by the Lord Jesus, if you've repented of your sins, if you've been buried in his name, if you've risen to walk in newness of life, if the old man has passed away, the old things are passed away, if all things are become new, then you can dwell evermore for all eternity. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. He doesn't forsake us, and we will be preserved forever in heaven, in that new heavens and that new earth. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Tells us again, doesn't it? Wait on the Lord. And when you do wait on the Lord, he has good things for you. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. We're waiting for something wonderful, something we've been promised. That new heavens, that new earth, that land that we will inherit, and we will be there forever. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And there are wicked in power, aren't they? And they like to spread out and get more and more powerful, grow more and more powerful each day, but they will be cut off. Spreading himself like a green bay tree, it tells us. I wonder if they got any of those trees up in Green Bay. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And not only do we have peace to look forward to, but it's going to be everlasting. It's going to be eternal. There's not going to be anything unpeaceful in heaven, I can guarantee you that. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Notice, it tells us in Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it's telling us here in Psalm 37 that our salvation comes from the Lord when we wait upon Him. And He is our strength in the time of trouble. I'll read verse 39 again. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall keep them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. So we see from these chapters we just read, Isaiah 40, Psalm 62, and Psalm 37, just how important it is to wait upon the Lord, to put your trust in Him. And God has such wonderful things waiting for us, things beyond our comprehension. And one fine day we will inherit that new heavens and that new earth. We're waiting for that now. When we wait on God, He gives us that strength we need, that overcoming strength. Praise the Lord. So when all seems lost and you don't know where to turn, just turn to Jesus and wait on Him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee tonight thanking Thee for Thy word, thanking Thee for Thy promises, thanking Thee for the knowledge that Thou art with us, that Thou art helping us, that Thou art strengthening us. For we know that when we wait upon Thee, Thou strengthens us. Thou renewest our strength, and we are so thankful, O God, for the renewing of strength. And we are thankful for Thy eternal promise. We wait in expectation now for Thy eternal gift, the gift of eternal life, to be with Thee forever in heaven. And we are thankful for Thy promises. We embrace Thy promises. We wait patiently for Thee, knowing that Thou hast good things in store for us. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done and all that Thou wilt do. Be with us, guide us, help us, I pray, as we go forth and on our day-to-day lives. Be with us every step of the way. Help us to never forget Thee, but to always be mindful of Thee, to always wait upon Thee for the good things that Thou hast for us. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing a chorus in closing. And it seems fitting to sing, They That Wait Upon the Lord. So we're going to sing that chorus. I think it's number 48 in the chorus book. Yep, that's correct. Number 48 in the chorus book, They That Wait Upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.